Hello and welcome to the Poppin' Things podcast, a pop culture podcast hosted and produced by Colorado State University students. We are your hosts, Chapman Crosskill,
Alec Erickson,
and Josh Klein.
Yep, so Josh is back again this week. Nicole is still out of town, so we brought our favorite IT guy back on the show. First thing, the biggest thing in my opinion this week is that they've announced that Club Penguin is shutting down.
This is very sad for me, and as I'm assuming millions of other children out there, because we basically grew up with Club Penguin, and so it's going to be very sad when March 29th rolls around. Josh, do you ever get a chance to play this?
I never did, but it was one of those things that you always knew was there, and you took comfort in that.
And I mean, at its peak, Club Penguin had 20 million active users, so like this is like a very wide-known program that like existed at a time, and I forget who exactly owned it before Disney, but Disney bought it.
I think it was independent before Disney bought it, but Disney bought it out.
Yeah, and that was probably like 6 or 7 years ago. And I mean, I stopped playing this game when I was like in middle school, but like, it's been around for 12 years now.
I played it a lot when I was a kid. Like, it was really my first interaction with like massive online like multiplayer experience. Like, way before gaming, like I would just go on like as much as I possibly could, you know, play like the jetpack game, get as many coins as possible. Like I had my black puffle, like I decked out everything. It was so cool. I loved Club Penguin, and I'm really sad it's shutting down, but I understand because I haven't cared about it in years. I mean, I think after Disney bought it is when it kind of got problematic, because they just started making so many ways you had to spend money and all these different things.
Yeah, and so what Disney's now doing instead is that, like I said, on March 29th, they're shutting it down, and that's when they're going to reintroduce what they're calling Club Penguin Island, right, which is only going to be a mobile game at first.
Right.
And it's not going to be the same in any regards. It's going to be very different. It's like 3D style-esque, which is a huge move away from the 2D that Club Penguin is now. And so I'm curious at least to see how it's going to turn out, I would say.
I didn't know it stayed relevant for so long. Again, like you guys, I thought it dropped off the face of the earth after middle school.
Yeah, and what's really interesting is, since it was like the first thing I really did online, this was before I ever had a YouTube account, before I had like any account really, this was the first thing that I ever had my username, which is Quick, which later became Nesquick, because just it's more fun to put in stuff. But Quick413 was my username on that, which then was my YouTube username. Like, if you look me up, there's plenty of traces of young middle school Chapman Quick413 online. So it's super interesting.
Yeah, this and RuneScape for sure were like my first two endeavors into like online multiplayer-esque games. And so it's going to be very sad to kind of see this go away.
And the really funny thing they did for like the finale party is they made it so you can finally tip over the iceberg.
Yes.
Because I remember being a kid and playing it, and people would say, oh, if you have enough people like drilling on it, you could tip over the iceberg, and you never could. And now they've made it, if you have like two blue penguins with a blue puffle each and a bunch and like five people all with a hard hat drilling, you can flip over the iceberg now.
Yeah, and it's like, it's just a little thing where they like acknowledged what the community has been doing for so many years, and they're finally rewarding that experience for
them. Meta. But rest in peace, Club Penguin. You'll be missed as a game. We'll talk about it again if anything pops up in the next month, but I doubt it. In other news, Ben Affleck announced that he will no longer be directing The Batman.
Yeah, and this has been speculated on for like the last couple months at least, and like he finally confirmed this news that he's no longer feeling comfortable enough to be the one in charge of how this movie is going to be taken care of.
Well, and he's gone back and forth on this movie so much. He's gone from saying that he's writing a script and that everything's in production, and then going back saying it might not even happen, and now he's not even directing. It's just been all over the place.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, the Batman series is probably the superhero, I think, with the most iterations of like different versions of the Batman in different games, different shows, different movies. Like, there's so many different versions of the Batman. But this was going to be this is the same one as the DCEU, right? It's the one that's going to be in like Justice League and all those.
Mm-hmm. So this is going to be part of their cinematic universe. It's not the next movie in the series to come out, I think.
Well, there's Wonder Woman, and then Justice League, and then the Batman, maybe.
Where's The Flash first?
I don't remember.
I know that The Flash also lost its director within the past 2 weeks.
And we don't have a new director for The Batman yet, do we?
No,
not yet. There's now like a huge speculation going around the internet of like who should take up. But I mean, DCU, we've talked about this before, they've always kind of been in trouble with their cinematic universe. And so, I mean, this might just be one of those projects that a lot of people are just like very tentative to stay away from because they're just like, yeah, they're not doing great. And I probably don't want to have my name associated with this movie in any way.
Yeah, that's fair.
And there's a lot to live up to with Batman. The Dark Knight trilogy was amazing and so well received.
It's really hard to live up to the Nolan Batman. I mean, and you look at the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we've had so many different interesting directors. I mean, we've got James Gunn doing Guardians of the Galaxy. We have the Russo brothers doing Infinity War. You have some very... They're big names, but only in kind of that sense, and that they do really big, good Marvel movies.
And what's like really interesting about Marvel is that they brought in huge teams of like sci-fi writers from like very popular sci-fi shows and everything. So that way, like when they do approach the subject of like a science fiction, they get it done right and it's entertaining and it makes sense and like you laugh with it. And so it's one of those things where like Marvel was very particular on who they were going to have work on this project, whereas DC's like, oh yeah, Ben Affleck kind of wants to be our star. Let's let him have his own movie, see what he does with it.
Well, has Ben Affleck ever directed anything?
Yeah. He did Fargo.
Oh, he did.
Or no, Argo, not Fargo.
I was going to say, Fargo. Fargo was definitely the Coen brothers.
He did Argo. He starred and directed that, and that was a really good movie. I thought he did a fantastic job with that.
Well, and how many different Marvel films did Joss Whedon do? I know he did the Avengers.
Just two, yeah.
The Avengers and...
He oversaw the universe for Phase 2, but he only did Avengers and then Age of Ultron.
Okay, so the two of the bigger Avengers films. Interesting.
Which I have to say, Phase 2 is probably... the best phase so far in the Marvel.
I mean,
universe.
I've really enjoyed Phase 3. I think Civil War is probably one of my favorite ones, and it's Phase 3. And I really, really enjoy, you know, the original Iron Man as far as Phase 1 goes, but Civil War is such a good movie, and I feel like it exemplifies what team movies should be like, and Age of Ultron definitely does not.
Yeah, Civil War, I have to agree on the fact that it was a way better Avengers movie than Avengers Age of Ultron was.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am starting to worry that the Marvel Universe is going to start playing it too safe, though.
Yeah.
I have felt that they, story-wise at least, have played it very safe. They're definitely still making a lot of pushes. You know, Doctor Strange had really good special effects that was new and unique. But
the story was pretty, in my opinion. We enjoyed it, but it wasn't. The story was not anything
special.
It was
safe. It was
pretty.
My problem.
But I mean, have you guys been following Chris Pratt's Instagram as he's been talking from like the set? Man, he's so funny.
He is a very interesting guy, I have to say, as an actor and as like a character both.
But I think I'm with him and James Gunn. I'm very excited for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So.
Oh yeah, James Gunn is really interesting to follow too.
And they just confirmed that Mantis will be in Infinity War, which is the new character they're introducing in the second Guardians of the Galaxy. You see her in the teaser. She's the one who can, you know, sense feelings through touch. I actually know nothing about her as a comic book character, and so I don't. I'm curious. I'm always excited.
I'm always very curious when how Marvel going up to Infinity War, like the characters that they're picking and choosing to introduce to the cinematic universe from the comic books.
Yeah,
because the comic books had so many like very trivial characters that played a role in that like whole entire series that Marvel's just like, okay, we need to scale it back to like the very iconic ones, and even then we'll have like maybe a few more obscure ones for people.
Well, and we're also getting Iron Fist next month, I believe.
Yeah.
March 17th, I want to say. So I'm very excited for that. I love the Netflix series, and I'm very excited for the Defenders. I actually haven't finished Luke Cage yet, and I know I should, but there's so many shows I've just been like rewatching and watching. In completely different news, Fire Emblem Heroes, the new Nintendo app for Android and iPhone, I believe, just launched. It's a Fire Emblem game that's very simplified, but apparently very, very fun.
I've played a few of the older Fire Emblems, and I definitely think it feels a little more casual, but it definitely still has that Fire Emblem feel, and I'm really excited to see what they do with it.
See, when I think of the old Fire Emblem games, that's something that, like, to me makes a lot of sense translating to mobile.
Yes.
Like, how they play and how they're styled, that turn-based kind of game made a lot more sense as a mobile game to me.
They've always been very difficult, though. I don't think they're going to have the permanent death, for instance, and...
Well, and apparently people have been resetting their game to get the best characters.
Really?
A bunch. Yeah, that's what I just read in Kotaku this morning, is that people have been resetting the game, which is interesting. I also have some friends who've been playing Pokemon Duel. It looks like a very intense metagame. I've been watching it. They've been saying it's harder than any like main series Pokemon game because you really have to try hard to get like all these character tokens or whatever. I haven't played it yet. I'm really not into mindless just like playing games. I usually play games with the story, so I'm curious. But I mean, Nintendo's been definitely trying. But what do you know how much the Fire Emblem Heroes is on the App Store?
So I think it's free to play.
It's okay. Free to play right now, and as of when we're recording it, it only has 50,000 downloads, at least on the Play Store. I don't know.
I think
about
it
the
launched
Apple
like
Store.
Tuesday.
I think it launched yesterday. Actually.
Yesterday, okay.
And so I think Thursday. It has a stamina system,
interesting.
So you can do a limited number of missions, and you have to wait for your stamina to come back. And I'm guessing that's where the money comes into play.
I mean, you also have to note that. Does anyone know? Did Nintendo hire out for their mobile game department? Can you look that up? I'm curious.
I feel like they wouldn't, just because in traditional Nintendo sense, they like to keep things in-house, because the only thing that was like more outside Nintendo was Pokemon Go when they had
Niantic
hat.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, for main series games, like the Metroid Prime series was done with Retro Studios, mm-hmm. which, and even HAL Laboratories, who does the Super Smash Bros. Series, at least the first game in Melee. They do occasionally work out with other side publishers, but they're usually not big names. They never would work with like Sony. So.
Yeah, and we've always seen them be very skeptical of the mobile market
right.
as well. Because
they finally jumped into it, and you can definitely tell they're trying. I just have to wonder if they're doing in-house or...
Well, this one I know has Intelligent Systems, who is okay. the typical Fire Emblem developer, but I think they're second party. I think they did get some help with the mobile development. I think it's actually part of a mobile game deal that includes an Animal Crossing game at some
Ooh,
point as
actually,
well.
Actually, if there's any game that would translate very well to the mobile, like I think I would actually download an Animal Crossing game.
I think... Animal Crossing and definitely probably Harvest Moon. Something
yeah.
in that vein would
Harvest
be really
Moon
well.
Is so similar to Animal Crossing, mm-hmm. But whereas Animal Crossing is one they've continued and you've seen it a lot more because with New Leaf doing so well with the launch of the 3DS, you saw them introducing the villager into Super Smash Bros. You can play as villager or I believe Isabella in Mario Kart, and you've got all the skins and all the stuff. So they've definitely been pushing that a lot harder than I haven't seen a Harvest Moon game in years.
See, that's what's really sad is because we had the release of Stardew Valley last year, and this year, like, they confirmed that they outsold Call of Duty and all these other big AAA titles, and it's just one dude who made Stardew Valley, which isn't very in the veins of Harvest Moon.
It is very,
it's
very
a lot more
Moon
mature
feeling.
Though. There's like some very like more adult plot lines that take place, which is very weird to say in a game that's styled after Harvest Moon.
Right.
Yeah, and I've played a good amount of Stardew Valley, actually, more than I'd like to admit, and I found it a very fun, really in-depth game, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Oh, well, I don't know. I'll be curious to see an Animal Crossing game, but for now, I don't think I'm going to delve into the mobile game market with Fire Emblem Heroes. In celebrity news, Beyoncé announced that she is pregnant with twins and released some maternity photos that are very, very artistic.
Yep. And one of her maternity photos is the now most liked photo on Instagram.
That's
passing
insane.
Selena Gomez's ad for Coke. Huh. Or no, Pepsi.
Pepsi. You know, that's one of those things I never think about is like what are the most likes, because I don't think you can actually like...
You can't search.
You can't do that the same
Instagram.
Way you can on Reddit or anything else. You can't see what the most liked. But that's interesting. That's really interesting. Josh, you're a twin. Can you attest to this a little bit? I don't know anything about being a twin. What?
Imagine having a brother or sister, except they're always there because you go to school with them and then you go home. So I know that she's going to be asked if they're fraternal or identical a lot, even if they are, in fact, boy-girl and cannot be identical.
Do you ever get that? Do you ever ask people ask if you're identical
I've
even
had
though
a
you
nurse
have a sister?
Really? I've had a nurse say, are you fraternal or identical?
Really?
And I was going, I hope that you know that I cannot physically be identical with my sister.
That's absolutely ridiculous. I also saw this morning on Tumblr conversations, somebody talking about how Padme Amidala had her twins, you know, just at the rise of the empire, and now Beyonce is having her twins with the change in government that we're having, and you know, maybe she's giving birth to Luke and Leia, maybe. Who
and
knows?
I mean, basically, Beyonce is the American version of the royal family. That's how a lot of people kind of look at that. But what's interesting for me with this whole entire story, and I haven't seen like a lot of people asking questions about this, is last year we had the release of Lemonade. Mm-hmm. Which she called out Jay-Z for cheating.
Right.
And so there was like that whole witch hunt for Becky with the good hair. And people are like still speculating on that.
Yeah,
and
the Bay Hive is very
the Bay Hive is very out there with this. And so then it's just like, now I'm kind of like curious if this is like them trying to fix things, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, are they Jay-Z's kids?
I would assume.
Because so. that's what they said.
Because she's pretty pregnant. She's what, like 5, 6
She's
months?
A few months in.
She like, because I mean, she's got a pretty big belly.
And they haven't split. So, right. I mean.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I try to avoid celebrity drama, but it's been everywhere the last 2 days. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting from a pop culture standpoint. And the last thing, I don't know, this is pop culture because I've seen a lot of memes of it. Obama is on vacation now that he's no longer the president of the United States. And there's been pictures of him with his very skinny chicken legs walking on the beach and wearing a backwards baseball cap.
He is just one of the bros, man. I'm telling you, he's just one of us.
Well, everyone knows that former presidents are at least 20% cooler than current presidents.
It's very true. Oh, yeah.
No one wears the Make America Great Again hats
Dude.
Backwards.
George Bush with a rain poncho, that is just the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
The man was very confused by his rain poncho.
But yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool that, like, you watched Obama go from, like, this very young man as a president to, like, this haggard, gray, like, old man in the course of 8 years. And so now it's cool to, like, actually see him out there having fun on a beach with his wife. Like, that's some... being he hasn't really had an opportunity
to. He's not gonna, I'm sure he hasn't relaxed really in the last 8 years.
No, and he's doing it in the most like bro way possible with like backwards hat, sunglasses.
I saw a picture of him next to some like street sign or something, and I don't know the original ones, but the one that I saw had 69 on it, and it just made me chuckle. Just yeah, Obama.
It's just those little things in life.
What
you
a
know?
Bro. What a bro.
Can't imagine going from being a president to not having anything to do and going to the beach to relax.
Be so relaxing. I bet, man, do you think that the White House has a masseuse? Because, like, they're so stressed. They have to have something, right?
I hope the Oval Office has a massage chair in every seat. So, you know, you're talking to the president, he's just rolling his shoulders. And
I like to think, because, like, every president gets that, like, morning brief, that they, like, get their morning brief as they're getting a massage.
Yeah.
And so, it, like, as a way to beat the stress coming on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we don't have a lot to talk about today, and we're also having some technical issues, so I think we're going to cut a bit short. But thank you for listening. Josh, thank you as always for coming on while Nicole's out of town, and we will see you next week. Tweet us at CXU Collegian.